the Fox Cities Score Chapter, and News Talk 1150 WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, here is Biz Talk.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Biz Talk. We're really glad you joined us this morning. My name's Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. Another beautiful fall day.
It is beautiful. Looks like we got a little weather ahead of us this week, though. We have our guest this morning. Our guest we're pleased to have in the studio, Sarah DeBruin. Sarah is the owner of Legal Business Edge. Sarah's a business attorney. Her firm just does business law. And we would like to say good morning, Sarah.
Well, good morning, Tony and Randy. I think the last time I was here, it was August, and it's definitely a change of seasons.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, we're going to be talking about legal matters as they pertain to business owners this morning. So, Sarah, before we get into the weeds with it, give us a little bit of a background. What is your background, and when did you start your firm, and where are you located, and how do folks reach you, that sort of thing?
Sure. Well, I've been an attorney for 22, 23 years. I started practicing for a large firm in Ohio where I graduated from law school. Then I went in-house as a general counsel in a manufacturing company in the area here. And my firm, I opened up in January of 2011, and I've been practicing strictly business law since that time.
Now, one of the things that you skipped over, I think what is very much a credit to you, is the firm you were in-house counsel for started with just a handful of employees, but how many did you end up with?
We ended up with over 500 employees with four locations. And during that time, one of my prior responsibilities, in addition to every contract the business would have, was building up an intellectual property portfolio of over 16 patents and many trademarks.
Okay. So how did you find the transition from corporate to working with small business? How did that come about?
Well, that started really when I was beginning my firm. My firm model was going and reaching out to small, medium businesses and becoming sort of their mobile in-house counsel or the person they would turn to in order to address different legal issues within the company. And these are companies that, you know, couldn't afford an in-house counsel. So that was my firm model. It's worked out really well. I have numerous business clients that call me on many, many different business questions and
okay.
issues.
And hopefully today we'll be talking a little bit about some of the different types of contracts and things that people need to understand and agreements and so on. So we'll be covering some of that as we go along. Very good.
That's great.
Sarah, what is the tagline for your company?
Know your options. So that's what I want you to do. That's what I want my clients to do. Know your options in any business dilemma or issue or situation.
Mm-hmm. And your practice is located where?
It's located at 2631 North Mead Street in Appleton.
Mm-hmm. And your phone number, do you have a website?
I have a website, www.legalbusinessedge.com, and my phone number is 920-851-7761.
You mentioned you manage the intellectual property, copyrights, patents, and so on for that company that you were in-house counsel for. Is that something you've continued in your practice? Do you still focus on intellectual property, trademarks, and
sure.
copyrights?
Yeah, actually, probably about 40% of my practice is dealing with intellectual property and trademarks and protecting a business's intellectual property through various means, whether it's confidentiality agreements or it's seeking patents or trade secret agreements, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. How large is your market area, Sarah? Do you reach... Are you just in the Fox Cities, or do you go beyond that to serve clients?
I go beyond that up to northern Wisconsin woods, and I would say most of my clients are between Oshkosh and Green Bay.
Okay. And you have a staff at your firm?
I do. I have one. I have a legal assistant that pretty much can research anything for me.
They're invaluable, aren't they, when they know
absolutely
that much about your business?
Right. Yep. Right. She helps me run the business and do the tasks that otherwise would distract me from serving my clients' needs.
As a small business owner as well, you can relate a little bit to some of our clients as well. When you started this, what were some of the problems you ran into just starting your own business from being from corporate into a single operation?
Well, I started out of my home, and that was one issue. I was always, it's hard to work from home. It was hard to work from home after working in a company with 500 employees.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue was just getting the word out. I had a lot of business contacts throughout the valley and Oshkosh and Green Bay, but getting the word out that I was there.
Okay.
And learning how to advertise what I did and that I was able to serve clients' needs in the way they wanted it done and coming in-house to their company and looking at their issues across the board and seeing how I could help. So
that's got to be a bit of a culture shock.
It was. It was in a lot of ways.
Sarah is also a SCORE mentor, and you've been in the chapter now for a couple of years?
It'll be a year.
One year?
Yes.
So Sarah is one of those volunteers who provides support for entrepreneurs in our market area who are looking for some legal advice or legal information. But as a SCORE mentor, Sarah, as an attorney, does not represent the client. She's there just to help educate and help maybe explain some things as a mentor. Would you say that's a fair way to put it?
That's a fair way to put it. I can tell somebody where to go to on the website to look up how to start an LLC. I don't do it for them. They have to do it themselves.
And that's a pretty common theme in SCORE.
Right.
Like, Randy, you do marketing, but you don't do a marketing plan for the client. You guide them through it. They have to get their fingers in it and they have
right.
to do it.
What we normally do, in fact, we all have a sign a confidentiality agreement, or I should say a code of ethics for SCORE, which says that if I have a business, I have to tell you about it front end.
Right.
Secondly, if after a while you decide you want me to do something for you that would be part of my business, I immediately have to separate myself as your SCORE counselor and pass you off to somebody else.
Right.
And then if there's further type of business that needs to be done, that's totally outside of SCORE.
Right.
And the other thing is, you'll never be, if you are a SCORE client, you'll never be solicited by a SCORE
right.
mentor.
Right.
We cannot do that.
Right.
So yeah, it's all up front. It helps to be able to lay out who's doing what and how everything works
right.
in that particular arrangement.
And before we take a break, I just wanted to say thank you to Sarah for being a sponsor of BizTalk. Her firm has been a one-year sponsor of BizTalk. We really appreciate the support, and SCORE enjoys working with you at your firm. So thanks, Sarah.
Well, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll be continuing our conversation with Sarah DeBruin of a Legal Business Edge this morning. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Alberts & Haling CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting, from startup to sell-off, and more. They specialize in creating comfortable financial management plans for you and your business. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or in Green Bay at 405-8549. Alberts & Haling, simplifying the steps toward success. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. and Alberts & Haling CPAs are not affiliated entities.
You're out there making life happen and documenting it, sharing it, living it. Fox Communities Credit Union is right here with you, helping you feel confident, saving you money, and helping you plan for life. Get a loan, get advice, get out there, and enjoy all that happens. Fox Communities Credit Union. Make life happen.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
And welcome back to Biz Talk. If you're going to fight the law this morning, we've got Sarah DeBruin here. Give us a call. You can reach us at 281-1150 if you have a question for Sarah, 281-1150. If you're outside Appleton, you can reach us at 866-887-1150. Sarah DeBruin is the owner of Legal Business Edge, and we're proud to have her in the SCORE chapter as a mentor, and she has her practice on North Mead Street. We're talking about business law this morning, and Sarah, before we get back to you, I just want to mention a couple things about the SCORE chapter. Our SCORE chapter is headquartered in a chamber building in downtown Appleton. We service an 8-county area from Appleton to Oshkosh to Fond du Lac. We have about 53 mentors in our chapter who provide free confidential advice for business owners or those who are looking to start a company. If you'd like to sign up for a session with a SCORE mentor, please go to our website. That's foxcities.score.org. And you can fill out the request for mentoring right there on the website. Hit the send button. Probably within 2 days or less, a mentor will be contacting you to schedule a meeting to learn more about your business and how we can help you with that business. So remember, it's all free. It's all confidential. And we've been doing this in our Appleton office for 40 years. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a big celebration coming up in May.
Randy, you were in the chapter at 6 years old when you started this chapter. This is your fourth tour as the chair, isn't it?
Second. Second tour as chair.
Oh, it's only second. Okay.
Right, but it's supposed to be a two-year deal. My first time I was in for three.
Yeah.
So I'm a slow learner, but I'm catching on.
But seriously, we have a lot of fun at the SCORE chapter, and if you have any questions about marketing, IT, intellectual properties, we have Sarah in the chapter to answer questions for that. Accounting, cash flow, banking, HR, process, workflow. If you have a business that has a challenge or you have an opportunity and you'd like to bounce some ideas off someone who's been there and done that before, reach out to SCORE at foxcities.score.org. Well, Sarah, we'll turn back to you now. Tell us a little bit about, give us an idea, and this is an open-ended question, but what sort of contracts are really important for business owners, even those who are in business today or those starting out? What should they be paying attention to? What kinds of contracts or agreements?
Well, first of all, if you are starting out, you're forming an LLC with one or more persons. It's the same whether it's one person or two or more persons. You want an operating agreement that explains how the LLC works and who has what shares, who has what responsibilities, how the dissolution of an LLC would come about, and how that's going to be resolved, as well as how money is going to be handled throughout the LLC operation of the LLC.
So
you have a partnership. You have a partnership agreement that does pretty much the same thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, with the LLC, I've had a lot of clients who do that. They'd say, okay, fine. I went to the website. I went to the state. I recorded my LLC. I'm all done now. I can go get going. What's wrong with that concept?
Well, what's wrong with that concept is you don't have the operating agreement that explains how the business is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the website, you get what is called articles of incorporation for your LLC. If you have two or more members, you have to have that operating agreement, because you may go along fine and dandy for 3 years, but you run into issues perhaps under a bank loan or the renewal of a bank loan, and those issues need to be addressed in an agreement ahead of time so that there are not misunderstandings or disputes between the members of an LLC.
So basically, you're setting up a formula. Like, if Randy and I started a business together, and we had an LLC. We'd have an operating agreement that says if we if one of us wanted to leave the business in 5 years, how would we value the company?
Sure.
What would the value of the company be? We'd have a formula in place to establish that value. Mm-hmm. We both agree to now, so at the time, there's less room for a disagreement.
Sure, that's one of the options for one provision in such an such an agreement, and it could also say that Randy would have the first right to buy out your shares in that company.
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about LLCs, you use the term members in there. That's the way I know in the state of Wisconsin they're referred to. Who is a member when you talk about that? For instance, like the example, Tony and I going into business together, but we have two or three employees as well. How do you class that? Who's who?
Well, the members are the owners.
The members are the owners. Okay.
Yep, and they hire employees.
Okay.
And
so,
they own a percentage, correct?
Right. You own a percentage, or you've contributed a percentage to start the company, okay, and you own shares. I mean, an LLC will issue certificates of ownership just like a regular corporation would.
I see. Okay. And one other question in that vein. Husband and wife situation. How does that affect, say, the individual starts the business as a sole proprietorship himself, the guy, but he's married. Is the wife automatically included in the business in the state of Wisconsin, or is that has to be included in the agreements and so on?
Well, you address that issue in the agreement. The wife is not, or the spouse is not, automatically part of an LLC that is founded by one member. And that's why you need an operating agreement, because if one member dies or just decides to
divorce
mm-hmm. or split up with their spouse, you need to address that issue, especially in the situation where you have to do some estate planning and a lot for the fact that, you know, under an estate plan, the wife will not become the owner of that LLC or succeed in the dead spouse's interest in that LLC.
So these are things you need to think about before you jump into the LLC, before you get things finalized.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. And one more thought on that is in Wisconsin, where marital property law states, so even if the wife is not part of the ownership of the company, she's still entitled to 50% of the value of the company, isn't she?
Well, she's entitled to 50% of all the property you own.
Right.
And if you're talking about in a divorce situation, in a death situation, if you have a will that says, you know, all my property goes to my wife, to the benefit of my wife, that would be your entire interest in the LLC.
Yeah, just your 50% interest.
Right. Whatever interest you own, you may own 60%.
Doesn't Wisconsin's marital property law just assume that if I own a car, I buy a car, that my wife Peggy owns half of it? I control the asset, but she has a half interest in it through marital property law in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how it's titled.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Not at all.
So if Randy and I own a company together, I own 50% of it, and the company's worth $10 million. We hit it really big, Randy.
Oh, great. I'm
wow, you guys are lucky.
But the value,
That's careful planning. This is what can happen when you work with SCORE.
Good business plans.
Yes.
Exactly right. You can multiply things.
Right.
But we'd each have a $5 million interest in it. My wife would have a 50% interest in my $500,000 or my $5 million, wouldn't she?
No, she'd have the whole $5 million if you died.
If I died, but if we're alive, she's...
If you divorced, she would have that 50% interest.
But even if we're not divorced, she's entitled to 50%.
Well, right. Currently, right
through
now,
through marital
she
property
is.
Law.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to take our second break here. We'll come back on the other side. We're talking this morning with Sarah DeBruin of Legal Business Edge. Know your options. You're listening to Biz Talk on Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Albertson Haling CPAs, they work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and maximize profits. Through a variety of services like asset protection, tax planning, and more, let them guide you through a smooth financial plan. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or Green Bay at 405-8549. Albertson Haling, simplifying the steps toward success. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Sudbury Financial Services, Inc. and Albertson Hailing CPAs are not affiliated entities.
You're out there making life happen and documenting it, sharing it, living it. Fox Communities Credit Union is right here with you, helping you feel confident, saving you money, and helping you plan for life. Get a loan, get advice, get out there, and enjoy all that happens. Fox Communities Credit Union. Make life happen.
And we're working for you this morning here on BizTalk. We're talking with Sarah DeBruin of Legal Business Edge. We're learning about contracts, the importance of operating agreements and organizational agreements and laying all that stuff out before you really get too far into your business life, and things will go much smoother. At the SCORE chapter, we mentioned that we do free and confidential mentoring, but we also put up a number of seminars every year. Andy, tell us what's coming up here.
Okay, well, right now we have one coming up in December. It's going to be on the 16th of December. We're going to have Kurt Hailing, who's a member of Albertson Hailing CPAs, is going to do a program on what business owners need to know about taxes and accounting.
Ooh.
We're going to talk about some of the things that are for planning purposes, some of the things you need to know about tax rules and so on. We're doing this one in income cooperation with CAP Services. Mm-hmm. And this one is going to be held in Waupaca. Mm-hmm. So we've been getting out into the hinterlands a little bit more. It's going to be held at the CAP Services office, which is at 101 Tower Road in Waupaca. It'll be on the 16th of December, running from 6 until 8 in the evening. Evening, 5:30 registrations. If you're interested in more information about it, again, go out to the website, foxcities.score.org, under local programs, and you'll get all the details on it. So it's free,
okay,
but we'd ask you to please register so we can get a head count.
Good time of the year, too, because tax planning and stuff.
Right.
You get
right.
A couple of weeks to make some final decisions.
Yeah, very timely.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And Kurt is always very entertaining, so it should be fun and games.
Yep. Also want to mention we have a Million Cups program that started back on October 28th, I believe. It happens every Wednesday morning at the Bordini Center of Fox Valley Tech from 9 until 10. It's for business owners to socialize and network with each other and learn more about how they can succeed. 9 to 10 at the Fox Valley Tech Bordini Center. So it's free every week.
Yeah, I have attended one of those, and it's really fascinating because you have one guest speaker who talks about what they've done, and then everybody else critiques and gives advice and helps out. So it's if you're interested in starting a business or have one, it's a fascinating way to get to know other people in business.
And I'd like to plug one other seminar. Sarah and I are going to be doing one this Wednesday at American National Bank. It's called Manage Your Banking Relationship. Don't be managed by it. Know your options. And we're going to be doing that at 7:30 in the morning until 9 o'clock at American National Bank. So if you're interested in attending that, give American National Bank a call. I'm sorry, I don't have their phone number with me. But give them a call and see if you can sign up. I know the space was limited. And if we have a full house, we might do it again. I also want to thank our sponsors who bring BizTalk to you each weekend. Those sponsors are very important to the SCORE chapter, and together we help to meet the needs of the entrepreneurial community in our area. Those sponsors include Fox Communities Credit Union, Albertson Hailing CPAs, Legal Business Edge. Our guest this morning is Sarah DeBruin from Legal Business Edge. Also, Bank First National. They're putting up a new office on West Wisconsin Avenue and should be open in the next couple of months. Also want to thank Candeo Marketing and Zach Pawlowski for helping us with our BizTalkWithScore.com website. Yes, BizTalk has its own website, BizTalkWithScore.com. You can go to that website and listen to any of the archive programs. We've been archiving programs now for over 4 years. And those who come on the show, the guests can actually put a link on their website to their program, and then visitors to their websites can hear them talk about their business. And we want to thank Zach and his team for the support that they provide us here at BizTalk. Also want to thank Jerry Mader and Larry Dash at the Business News for promoting our program and their biweekly periodical, The Business News. If you're not subscribed to it, for $20 a year, you really should be. If you're in business, you want to know what's going on in your community, what's going on around you. The Business News is all about business. So thanks, Jerry, and thank you, Larry. Well, let's turn back to Sarah now. Sarah, let's talk a little bit more about some of those agreements, like the confidentiality and the non-disclosure agreement and non-compete agreements. Tell us a little bit about some of those and how important are they?
Sure. A confidentiality agreement is important in two aspects. It's important with your employees, and it's important with outside parties. A typical employment agreement will require that an employee keep all confidential information of the employer confidential for the duration of employment and usually for up to about 2 years afterwards. And that's, you know, especially important if you have specific technology, a lot of customers, pricing techniques, and, you know, technologies, business methods, that sort of thing. And you also have to have a separate clause. Typically, in the state of Wisconsin, trade secrets are treated separately from confidential information. So you should always have a separate clause protecting trade secrets because they are a trade secret for as long as the company treats them as such, mm-hmm. meaning they take affirmative actions to protect it as a trade secret.
What's a trade secret?
Well,
what's an example of a trade secret?
An example of a trade secret, for instance, if you're a restaurant owner, you have recipes, you mm-hmm. have information where your ingredients comes from. Those are trade secrets. Trade secrets may be things like a typical business or manufacturing methodology that you don't want to patent or you don't want other people to know about mm-hmm. Because it's a very valuable asset. Trade secret is a one type of intellectual property.
Yeah.
That a company can have.
Yeah, two of the classics like that, of course, is the ingredients in Coca-Cola as a trade secret.
Absolutely.
That they fight for tooth and nail. Another was Colonel Sanders and how he made his chicken.
That's true.
What he had in his dressing.
True.
But those were very special trade secrets. And as long as they were kept, and they have been so far, they're you know, secure. So.
Sure. And every employee in a company like that mm-hmm. should sign that
yep.
that type of confidentiality. As a matter of fact, I mean, as soon as you hire an employee, every employee should have a confidentiality agreement.
You mentioned one part of that too is the client list, you know, your customer list, that people don't sometimes think about that as being part of their intellectual property and part of the things they have to protect.
Well, that's definitely part of their confidential information, the customer contacts, customer information, how you go about soliciting and keeping in contact with them, what types mm-hmm. of agreements you have with them. All of that is included in customer information.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sarah, tell us again, how can folks reach you if they have a question? They may not call this morning, but they may have some questions running around in their mind. They'd like to call you next week. How do they reach you?
Sure. My phone number is 920-851-7761. You can look up my website at www.legalbusinessedge.com. It's all run together, legalbusinessedge.com.
We were talking a little earlier about Coca-Cola and Colonel Sanders, and I think the story is that Coca-Cola recipe is so secret, they don't want to send it in for a patent application or a copyright because that pretty much, a patent will open it up and expose it to everyone, won't it?
Well, a patent teaches you how to do a specific
yeah.
Mm-hmm. business, you know, method or compilation, but actually recipes cannot be patented.
Okay.
That's the law.
That's the reason. That,
yeah.
So Coca-Cola is just keeping it in-house.
Right.
A handful of people probably know that recipe.
That's correct. Yeah. But, you know, their employees on the line may know that, you know,
yeah.
working in the factory,
yep.
they may know that.
Yep.
Okay, Sarah, maybe we can just kind of switch gears when we're talking about confidentiality agreements, but the next step on that, of course, is the non-compete agreement. How does that work and how important is that to understand?
Well, non-compete agreements are typical in employment agreements with persons like salesmen or persons who have a lot of knowledge or intimate knowledge of the business, confidential information, their R&D people, for instance, research and development people. Those agreements are important because they have to protect the employer's legitimate business interests.
Okay. All right.
And
we have a caller on line one. Good morning, Mike. You have a question for Sarah this morning?
Yeah, this goes back to the operating agreements and who's liable for what. My daughter was a part of, when she was married to my son-in-law in the contracting business, and she was made president of the company because they wanted to get minority and women type contracts potential.
Right.
But there was no operating agreement. So subsequent to the divorce, she's been getting a lot of garnishments on things that she knew nothing about or probably should have, about not making payment for unemployment, things like that. Because she's president, is she liable or is it still 50-50 with a marriage situation?
Well, if there was no operating agreement, like we said before,
right.
Her ex-husband was given or should have been given 50% ownership of her share of ownership in that company.
Okay.
So she would be liable for monies she's earning, for instance, from that LLC?
No, she's not. There was no money earning. It was really there was no profits or actually valuation of the company. But there were bills incurred, and subsequent to the divorce, she's been getting garnishments to pay this off, pay that off. You know, it has been, and he has not been paying anything. So I didn't know if there was some rules as far as, you know, 50% splitting of a company is one thing, but what about the bills?
I would think she'd have to go back to court on that one, but she is liable. She's primarily liable as the business member of the LLC.
Right.
That she would be the primary person who's liable, but in order to recover any sums from her husband, my guess is, and I'm not at all an expert in family law, she'd have to go back to a court and require him to pay her his 50% share.
Sarah, would
because she was president of the company, that didn't say that she was 100% liable then, right?
Are there other members in the LLC, or is she the only?
No, it was just the husband and the wife, but she was made president because of the fact they wanted to get, you know, contracts for minorities and women.
Okay.
She was named as a member of the LLC?
As was the husband, right?
Yeah, as was the husband.
So. Was the husband a treasurer?
I don't know that fact, whether he was treasurer or not, and I'm not even sure they even set up an LLC, to be honest with you.
Ooh.
Okay.
But, I mean, they should have really done a lot of different things.
Have they gone to see an attorney?
Well, they're divorced now, so it's...
Has your daughter gone to see an attorney to defend
her? No, she hasn't. She hasn't. She probably should see an attorney.
It might be a good idea to start with an attorney. I'd recommend talk to Sarah, but get some footing on what the history is so that she has an idea of what direction she wants to go in the future.
Sure.
Okay.
And it, you know, if the husband was a member of the LLC, he's 50% liable right out of the gate just because of that fact.
Okay. Well, I'll have to check and see if there was an actual. There should have been one set up because it was tax codes and, you know, tax EIN numbers and things like that.
That doesn't necessarily mean anything.
You can go to WDFI, Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions.
Right.
And you can search the name of the corporation, and if it was organized as an LLC, it'll be appearing there.
Okay. So. Well, at least it gives me some more information to give her.
Well,
so
good luck. Good luck, Mike.
I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. You know, so
okay.
Give me a call.
Thank you, Sarah. Yep.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling,
bye-bye.
Mike. Bye-bye. That brings up an interesting point because there are corporations, LLCs and C-Corps and S-Corps, and we have presidents and officers of the companies, and they really are protected from any claims from outside vendors or anything just by the personal claims to them personally, unless there's a guarantee or unless there's some sort of fraudulent or willful neglectful act, correct?
Sure, absolutely. That's what the LLC is, limited liability corporation or company, that it protects the members' personal assets from being part of a liability situation.
Correct. Yep. Unless there's fraud or
right.
or a personal guarantee might be signed, like the owner of an LLC yeah. takes a loan out at the bank and the bank requires a personal guarantee. That goes through that LLC protection, and now the individual is responsible for the obligations of the company to the bank.
That's correct, and you're piercing the veil there right. of the corporation right. and making the members liable
yep.
in that situation.
We're going to have to take our last break right now. We're coming up on the last segment. We're talking this morning with Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, located here in Appleton. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
At Albertson Hailing CPAs, your success is their success. They can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. They offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Albertson Hailing, simplifying the steps toward success. Call today in the Fox Cities at 886-2241 or in Green Bay at 405-8549. Securities offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., and Albertson Hailing CPAs are not affiliated entities.
We're here today with Bill Bradley, Vice President at Bank First. Bill, we know Bank First was founded over 100 years ago along the lakeshore and has been growing and expanding. We also heard you have plans to build a new location in the Appleton market soon. Can you tell us where you will be located and what we can expect as a new customer of your bank?
Sure. Bank First will be located on Wisconsin Avenue near the Fox River Mall. It will be at the intersection of Highway 41 and Wisconsin Avenue. As a customer of Bank First, you can expect to enjoy a banking experience with a high level of personal attention. We strive to focus on long-lasting relationships by providing flexible options and solutions for both your business and personal needs.
Thanks, Bill. It sounds like a refreshing change to work with experienced people who take the time to understand our needs. For more information, visit www.bankfirstnational.com. Equal housing lender and member FDIC.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dead.
Final segment this morning on Biz Talk. We're talking this morning with Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge here in Appleton, a commercial attorney located on North Mead Street. Sarah, give us your phone number again, would you please? Your contact information?
Sure, 920-851-7761. And my website is www.legalbusinessedge.com.
Super.
Okay, Sarah, we had before the call there, we had started talking a little bit about non-compete agreements and so on. Do you want to fill us in a little bit more about what's involved in those and how they work?
Sure. A non-compete agreement under the state of Wisconsin law has to be reasonable to protect an employer's legitimate business interests.
Mm-hmm.
And in Wisconsin, as opposed to many other states, Wisconsin is very heavily favored in the employee's corner.
Okay.
There have been recent developments that say an existing employee can sign a new non-compete, or if they've never had a non-compete, you can make him sign one, and enough consideration is given by that employee, enough, you know, something he gives up is given by that employee in exchange for continued employment.
Okay,
so continued
employment
is consideration for a new non-compete.
Okay, so as an employee, I can't say to you, I won't sign that unless you pay me $500 or something like that. You can say as the employer, this is a part of your continued employment agreement.
Right, you could say you're fired if you don't sign
it. Okay, right.
Right. The other components are non-competes have to be for a reasonable period of time. Mm. You know, the rule of thumb in Wisconsin is 2 years, but it really depends on the industry itself. I have a client right now that is in a business that supplies foundries, mm-hmm. and he had a non-compete, not to compete anywhere in the country, and his former employer was all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not reasonable, too restricting.
Yeah, I was going to say geographic requirements have to be within reason.
You can have a geographical zone requirement that makes it reasonable, or a specific list of customers he can't compete against for a period of time. Now, in that situation, 2 years is probably too long.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't work for any smaller company because they're all competitors of the larger company.
Okay, so that would be breakable then as far as the courts would be concerned because
sure.
It's too restrictive. It restricts the person's ability to make a living.
That's absolutely right, and that's the public policy in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Sarah, we're coming up on the end of the show, and we'd like you to leave a biz tip for us, some pearl of wisdom.
When you start a business, slow down. Get the proper agreements in place. Get insurance. If you're going to sign a lease, make sure you read it. Have an attorney review it. If you have questions, you don't understand it. And contracts, periodically, don't just stick them in the drawer. Have attorneys review them and see if the law has changed periodically every year or every other year and a half to 2 years.
Okay.
That's great advice. It's like a business plan. You build your business plan, but you should use it every year and review it occasionally just to make sure you're still on track.
Absolutely.
Sarah, it's been a pleasure having you here this morning as our guest. Thank you for coming in and sharing some information with us.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it.
And thank you for being a sponsor of BizTalk. It's companies like yours that help bring this program to our listening audience every weekend. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks,
yep.
Tony.
Randy, next weekend we do not have a guest, but we do have a guest after that. That's
right.
Going to be Matt Spielbauer, who reopened Jack's Are Better in Little Chute.
That should be interesting.
The next two weekends, however, are subject to the Badger bump.
Yes, so, which we're waiting to find out.
Yeah, we don't know if the program is going to be bumped or not. When the Badgers play at 11 o'clock, the pregame show starts at 9, and we get bumped.
Sure.
It's like a punt, you know, like they're kicking that field goal, and we get kicked.
Yeah.
You know, but go Bucky. We want them to win.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, if they win that way, they get the better time slots, and we get to be on the air. So
you
that
got
works
it.
Out better.
We want to thank everyone for listening, and tune in again next week. We want to talk to you about a whole new topic next week. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.